Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Just during the sermon and even afterwards, you know, oftentimes we come to church saying, God, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? I'm here, God. I need you to meet my needs. And I feel like what I really felt the Holy Spirit say is that Jesus is worthy to be sought. He's worthy to be sought, and that we need to say, Jesus, what can we do for you? Because we always come expecting, right? And expecting, God, I need this from you. I need you to fill this. I need you to do this. I need this. I need this. I need this. And he does those things because he's such a wonderful God. But, you know, he does ask of you to give up your life for him. And he asks you to step into his service. Don't forget that part. So I heard him tonight. I really heard the Holy Spirit say, what can I do for you, Lord? Because you've done it all for me. What can I do for you? Amen? So, you know, a lot of my messages are kind of tailored around prophecy. And it's just what God has called me to, okay? And I'm always hesitant to share things, you know, but God was like, now is the time, Crystal. Now is the time. And so, folks, the church in America is in a really bad condition. It's in a really bad state, and God has shown me the condition of the church, and it's not good. And God has told me that he is going to shake things up. Thank you, brother. Amen. He is going to shake things up. There is a shaking coming to America. And God is going to shake up his church because they're not where he needs us to be. I'm not saying our church specifically. I'm saying the church. The church. It's in a very bad, lukewarm state. In some sense, it's claiming to be alive, but it's really dead. And they're claiming Jesus, but it's not Jesus of the Bible. It's another Jesus that then Paul preached. And there's treacherous times ahead. There's treacherous times ahead. Now, God doesn't always give me the years, but I believe 2016 is going to be, you're going to see big things happen. I believe you're going to see some shaking things up happen. I believe that something's going to happen in the United States, that Obama's going to have to declare martial law and that he's going to be in for a third term. These are things that I've seen, okay? And it's because God does not want his church to be lost with the world. And if the church does not repent, she's going to be lost with the world because of the condition that she's in. In these last days, the Lord has told us there would be a great spirit of fear where men's hearts would fail them because of fear. And I can tell you, I have been a Christian for 21 years now, and I have never seen the church in the state that it's in now. In 20 years, and I have never seen the church in the book of Revelation like we are now. I am seeing those prophecies come to pass. And I didn't even see those 10 years ago. And they're starting to come to pass. Those things are starting to come to pass. We're going to see and experience catastrophes in the earth, bloodshed, persecution, and affliction. There's a spirit of Antichrist that's being released in the earth. And this spirit of Antichrist is very alluring because Satan comes as an angel of light. And so it looks good and it presents itself good, but it's a counterfeit spirit to the Holy Spirit. These are treacherous times. And if you are not in the Word of God and not at the Savior's feet and in His presence, you're gonna be lost. Okay? I feel a very warning from the Lord in this. Now is not the time to be messing around. Now is the time to be in the Word of God and at His feet, now more than ever. In 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God is sending a strong spirit of delusion that those who continued to refuse to hear the truth will start to believe the lie. So those people that continue to disregard the Word of God, even Christians that disregard the Word of God, that don't cling to the Word of God, that don't want anything to do with the Word of God, even if they proclaim Jesus, there's a delusion coming. There's a strong spirit of delusion coming that is going to deceive them, and they can no longer believe the truth. That is coming. These are treacherous times. But I came here to tell you tonight, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear what man can do to you. Psalm 27:1 is probably one of my favorite psalms. It's a beautiful psalm. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of praise. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto God. Whom shall I fear?" Now, if you don't have that confidence, you're going to fear. If you don't have that confidence, you will fear, because you're going to see things that are going to scare you. You are see things that will shake you up. You have to have that confidence. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. I'm going to read this. These are Christ's words to the church in Smyrna. Okay? Yeah. These are Christ's words to the church in Smyrna. Now listen. These Christ's message to the seven churches wasn't just for that church. It was for the church in all generations at all times. So this is for us today. And He says, "I know your suffering and your poverty, but you are really rich. And how you are blasphemed and slandered by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear nothing that you are about to suffer." These are the words of the Lord. He says, "Fear nothing that you are about to suffer. Beware, the devil's about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested in your faith. For 10 days you will have tribulation. But be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death." Now, and people say, "Well, this won't happen. This won't happen to me." This was the church, folks. This was the church. This wasn't Old Testament. This is church. New Testament, Jesus Christ, church. Church. "This city, Smyrna, was a center of commerce, wealth, architectural splendor." Now, interesting, the name Smyrna means myrrh. It means myrrh, right? And myrrh was that fragrance that's obtained from a flowering myrrh tree when it had to be crushed. That branch, that flower had to be crushed in order to get the fragrance out of it. So it was a fitting name because the church in Smyrna was crushed and it was persecuted and it was afflicted mightily. This center was a center of idolatrous worship, okay? They had imperial worship back then. And so there was a temple in Smyrna, and once a year, every single citizen in Smyrna had to go to this temple, and they had to either declare that the Caesar was Lord, either Caesar is Lord, or Jesus is Lord. Now to declare that Jesus is Lord, they could lose their job, they could lose their lives, they could lose their family, they could be in prison. Anything could happen to them. Like I said, up until, you know, from the point of losing your job to losing your life and everything in between could happen to them at this point. This is why Paul wrote Romans chapter 10. He was writing to the Roman Christians, right? And I know a lot of people use that for salvation in Romans 10, where it says, if you declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and you confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. This wasn't a recipe for salvation, folks. Paul was encouraging the Roman Christians that if they confess Christ instead of Caesar is Lord, they would be saved. Because they were under persecution of death. They were under persecution of death. It wasn't a recipe for salvation. He said, you, if you really believe it, when you go to that temple, when you proclaim that Jesus is Lord, you're going to be saved. Don't worry about your life. You're going to be saved. And I often think about that. What would happen now if any of us couldn't have a job or go anywhere that we wanted to if we said Jesus is Lord? Right? It might get to that point. It might get to that point. It was for these Christians. The Christians in Smyrna were so persecuted. Think about the Jews that were persecuted by the Germans. That's how the affliction of the Smyrnan Christians were. Where they came in and they seized all their property. They killed them. They took their children. They put them in prison. They smeared them. They stole from their stores. They stole from their homes. They vandalized everything. And then it wasn't just the Roman government. It was the Jews on top of that. So they had double the persecution here. And so Jesus says to them, fear nothing that you're about to suffer. How about those words? You know, we think it's bad. We go through a little persecution. Folks, persecution. And Jesus says, fear nothing you are about to suffer. Why? Because we're not supposed to have any fear. We're not supposed to live and be motivated by fear. It's not supposed to be a part of us. Fear nothing. Fear no man. Fear no devil. Nothing. Fear nothing you are about to suffer. That's what he says. Do not fear. Now, one of the biggest fears, right? Besides the fear of death, the next fear is fear of man. And along with the fear of man is that fear of rejection, right? Fear of man, fear of rejection. That's what most of us stumble with. Most people struggle with insecurity and the fear of rejection to some degree, and there's nothing wrong with wanting people to like you. But listen to this. When we are so focused on being people pleasers that our fear of being rejected, judged or criticized controls our choices, we're being controlled by the fear of man. Right? If it changes our choices because we fear what someone thinks about us, we fear if they're going to judge us, we fear they're going to criticize us, we fear they're going to reject us, that's when we need to get it under control. Paul said this, Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So he's like, he's just throwing it out there. He's like, if I live to please men, then I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I want to be a part of Christ. So listen to this. I have a few symptoms that I came up with for the fear of rejection, okay? Maybe this applies to you. I don't know. Listen. You lack assertiveness when it comes to your social interactions. You lack courage to speak up and raise a different point of view. Mm-hmm. You lack a sense of personal identity. That one's big. You're dissatisfied with life, but instead of vocalizing it openly, you internalize it. You're consistently wearing different masks to please other people. You like that one, Don, Steve? You feel as though other people have some kind of superiority over you. You're obsessed with acting and looking like other people. You're extremely conscious of what other people think of you. Come on. You're afraid to say no and express your opinion. You are afraid to be labeled as different. Any of those fit? Anyone? So then how do we overcome this fear of man, this fear of rejection? I came up with a few things, okay? So I'm happy all of it. Thank you, sister. Number one, he was rejected. And rejection's not a huge thing for me. My whole life I was rejected. My whole life I was abandoned and rejected. My mom, I lived in so many different houses and so many different people, and as soon as you'd fall in love with a family, you'd end up having to leave. And those people that said they loved you, soon after a year or so, you didn't hear from them anymore. And this was a consistent thing in my life, and you learn to get over it. Or you just hide everything inside and just build up walls. Whatever you do. You do something. I'll tell you that much. Something that's not right. Makes you crazy. But rejection sucks, right? Right? I remember being, in so many different schools. And who remembers, when they line everybody up and you'd have to be picked for teams and stuff? Nobody knew me, so I was the last one picked. They didn't know anything about me. I mean, literally, the person, with the broken arm got picked before me. I guess I'll take that new girl. What can you do, new girl? I don't know. Right? It sucks. Rejection, right? But guess what? You're in good company. You're in good company. The Savior of the universe was rejected. Yes. He was rejected. You will be rejected. If we're going to identify with Him, we're going to be rejected. Yes. Right? Doesn't that give you some comfort? Yeah. Like, He was rejected. I'm going to be rejected. It's okay. Isaiah 53:3 says, He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. He was rejected. John 15:18 says, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So we're just plainly told. Jesus plainly tells us, guess what? The world hates me. I'm rejected. It's going to hate you. You're going to be rejected. You're like, oh, great. Thanks. Thanks. But it should give you some comfort knowing he was despised and rejected and hated. We're going to be. If everybody likes you, I'd be worried. I should say, if the world likes you, I would be worried. Number two, you got to know your identity in Christ. You have to know who you are in Christ. 1 John 4:18 says, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. So he who fears has not been made perfect in love. But see, when you know who you are in Christ, you know you are loved and accepted by Him. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. When you know who you are in Him, when you know you're loved by Him, accepted by Him, that's, folks, that's that perfect love casts out fear. Don't go looking for love in all the wrong places, because that worldly love, the earthly love, isn't going to cast out that fear. Perfect love is from above. That's the love that casts out the fear. That's the love you got to go searching for. That's the love you got to find, is that perfect love that casts out fear. So you know who you are in Him. And I can tell you all the day long, but you've got to know it for yourself. And I know a ton of scripture on what God says about you. And I've preached a ton on identity. Ask the women. I have preached a ton on identity because I want them to know who they are. But you have to know for yourself. You've got to get it in your heart yourself. You got to get in the Word. You got to get in His presence. You got to be in prayer constantly, finding out, God, tell me how much You love me. Tell me who I am, God. Show me who I am in You. And if you're not searching for that, you're going to be lost. You're going to be lost. You're not going to know who you are. And so then anybody says anything to you and you're just, man, you break apart, easily offended. You got to know who you are. People don't know who they are because they don't know who He is. That's why they don't know who they are, because they don't really know who He is. Find out who He is. Find out His character. Find out His will. Find out His thoughts. Find out His ways. It's in His Word. Let Him tell you who you are. Let Him tell you what your calling is. Let Him tell you what your purpose is. And guess what? It's not up for debate. It's not. When God tells you what you're called to and God tells you your purpose, it's not up for debate. It doesn't matter what any man says. Because guess what? He says, you're mine. I can do with you what I want. And this is what I'm doing with you. These are the gifts I've called you to. This is your purpose. It doesn't matter what anybody says. That's what He says. But you got to know. You got to know that you 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 know. You got to know. Just know. Number three, you are peculiar. You're different, right? You are different. You are peculiar. I love 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You're special. Some of you more special than others. You're different. It's okay. He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're called to be different. And guess what? People will automatically be opposed to you because you're different. Because you walk differently, you talk differently, you don't do what the world does. Right? You don't do what the world does. They're going to be against you. A couple sermons ago, Pastor Matt had said, I thought this was so great, and I was like, where do you come up with these examples? That's so great. You know, he was talking about, we tell our kids to go to school, and you don't tell your kids to be like everybody else, do you? You don't tell your kids to do what everybody else does, right? We tell our kids, hey, you know, if your friends went and jumped off the building, would you do that too? We say things like that, right? But then as an adult, we don't want to be different. We want to follow the crowd, look like everybody else. When we're telling our kids to be different, are we not... Where's the disconnect? God calls us to be different. Folks, and when you start being different than the world, you're going to get opposition. Right? Have y'all seen the thing with Steph Curry and his wife? His wife was asked something about the clothes that she wears, and she dresses. She says, I dress modestly because my body's for my husband. And she got so much flack for that. Imagine that. Right? Because she actually was saying, my body's for my husband. I don't need a dress like this. And they were like, well, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's what the world does. Why don't you do that? Because I'm different. I'm different. I'm different. You're different. You're called to be differently. You're called to be separate. You're called to look differently, act differently, talk differently, walk differently. Get it settled in your spirit. You know, the men and women of God that did great things for God in the Bible, folks, they were different. Yep. Jeremiah, Elijah, Ezekiel. Man, read about Ezekiel, man. Moses, Paul, right? John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. Come on, man. He was different. He was a weirdo, right? Yeah, he's special. He's one of those special people. He was different, folks, and Jesus was different. Jesus was different. We get this picture of what Jesus was, and yeah, masses followed him, but then, you know, he'd turn around and say something they didn't like, and they'd walk away. Hordes of them walk away. They're like, oh, I thought you were something different, Jesus. I am something different. I am something different. Number four, he will be with you always. Amen. There's no fear in that. Right? That God says he will be with you. I will be with you. See, he never promises us we will not go through the fire. He doesn't promise us that. He doesn't promise we will not walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, yea, that God lifts me around the valley of the shadow of death or over. He said, walks through. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Oh, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. See, you walk through the fire. He doesn't say you're not going to go through it. Y'all don't like to hear that, right? Nobody likes it. Whoa, I'm going to soar over the storm. Well, sometimes. But in my life, I've had to go through it. Time and time and time again. And I always say there's only three places you are. You're either going into the storm, you're in the storm, or you're coming out of the storm. You might have a brief moment where you're like, oh, this is nice. And you see the storm on the horizon. But we go through it. That's what he said. He said, but I'll go with you. I promise to go with you. Right? Daniel went in the lion's den. Hello? We always think he's gonna deliver me. Well, he did deliver. Not in the way we thought, though. Daniel had to go in the lion's den. He just shut the mouths of the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to go in the fire. He didn't stop him from going in. He just walked with him in it. Right? We get this big idea. Well, God's going to deliver me from that. And God's like, really? Well, I don't know. I'm thinking I'm just going to go through it with you. That was kind of my idea. Yeah. Folks, we will go through things. But knowing that he will be with us gives us peace. That's the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. He's called the comforter. He gives us comfort, right? He gives us comfort. He gives us peace. He goes with us. He goes with us, right? Don't be so afraid to go through things. Man, sometimes just grab on and say, okay, God, we're going through this together. And you're going with me and you're walking with me and you're giving me peace and you're going to get me through this. And I'm going to come out on the other side without even the smell of smoke on me. Man, sometimes just let it happen. Yeah. Say, God, man, if this is your will, stop fighting him. Amen. God's trying to do something. Man, some of you need to thank him for the fiery furnace. Yeah. I look back on something in life, and I'm like, man, God, thank you for taking me through that. Thank you for that. Thank you. He's going to go with you. Now, during this next season, folks, we do not need to fear, but we need to be courageous and bold. Courageous and bold. Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. It's the reason the lion's called the king of the jungle. He don't back down from nobody. We're supposed to have boldness and courage of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we sing the songs, God, you, how great is our God, and then we flee? Come on, man. How great is our God? Watch the walls of Jericho come down. How great is our God? Watch the Red Sea part before you. How great is our God? How great. We don't flee. We go. Cause he's great. He's awesome. Awesome. That means he inspires awe. He inspires awe. Right? He is awesome. Don't flee. Go forward. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Boldness in proclaiming the truth of God's word. We cannot continue to be conformed to the world. We need to be not conformed to the world and transformed by the renewing of our mind. Whom shall I fear? There's only one type of fear that's acceptable, folks. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a fear of the Lord. And what does that look like? It means he is God. I am not. That's what it means. He is creator. I am creation. I was created out of dirt. From dust was I formed, and from the dust shall I go. I didn't create nothing. I don't know any of y'all. I don't think y'all created yourself. Anybody here create themselves? Yeah, I don't think so. That's the fear of the Lord. It says, he is God. I am not. It keeps you in a humble place, folks. If you remember that, it keeps you in a humble place before him. So he is God. I am not. It's humbling. A man should not think so highly of himself. I am not. Keeps you in awe of his greatness and his vast awesomeness. It's an honoring and respecting of his power, majesty, and holiness, which produces a holy fear of transgressing his revealed will. It should cause you to think twice about sin, disobedience, and rebellion. That's what the fear of the Lord is supposed to do. It's produce that. It helps refine that righteousness in us. That's the only fear that's acceptable. Everything else, he says, fear nothing. Fear nothing. The creator of the universe will go with us. We need to stay in his word and at his feet. In his word and at his feet. So tonight, you know, I really just want to pray against any fear. I really just want to pray against any fear and all fear. And you don't have to raise your hand and say, that's me. You don't have to do that, okay? I'm not asking you to do that. But if you know you have that fear of man or that fear of rejection, whatever it is, and if something spoke to you tonight, man, I just pray that word goes down in you and you begin to water it. And then it brings forth fruit. Right? Boldness, people. The righteous are bold as a lion. Boldness. Boldness, not argumentative, but boldness. Boldness. Father God, I just thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are an awesome God. You are a great big God. You are a wonderful God, Lord, that there is nothing you can't do, God. I thank you that you go with us, God, that you go with us through the fire and through the flame and through the river. Lord, you go with us, Lord, that we do not need to fear anything, Father. I pray that this word goes deep into our spirits tonight, God. And if there's any fear in our spirit, Lord, that you root it out tonight in Jesus' name. By the power and blood of Jesus Christ, I command every spirit of fear to leave in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of fear, every fear of man, every fear of rejection, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of death, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no power nor authority here. In Jesus' name, the blood of Christ is against you. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you are so worthy, God. You are worthy to be sought, Lord. And I pray tonight, Father, as we press into you, God, that you reveal your purpose for everyone here, God. Lord, those that have been struggling with what you have called them to do, God, I pray tonight, God, that you make it clear to them what you'd have them to do. Father, I ask you to make it clear to them who they are in you, Lord, their identity in you, God, that they might know their revealed will for them, Father. Their purpose, their calling, God, who they are in you, Father. I just pray that those seeds be planted tonight, Father. Bring people to water those in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you and lift up all things unto you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So get your kids. We went a little bit late, so we were praying, so...